the Saints, like we said last show, we're already at the halfway point and then some, or we're really getting there at this point. It's almost halfway over, unfortunately. But before we get into everything, if you want to tweet us, tweet me, Jake Seeley, at All In Kid. Tweet Bobby, at Hello, I'm Bobby. That's Bobby McMahon, for everybody who doesn't know. I forgot to get the intros out of the way this time. I was just so surprised, again, still, that it's week 7 already. But jumping right into things, I'd be interested to see, for everybody who's listening, they'll know, again, as always, we record this show pretty much as Thursday Night Football is getting ready to go on. Be interested to see how the Patriots look with the running back situation back there. But real quick before we get into it, no matter how it turned out, is that really a situation you want to deal with at all? Like, I'm thinking whoever did well, I'm selling high. I don't even care if it's Shane Vereen. It's just I can't trust – it's Belichick. You can't trust him.
No, it's such a messy situation that I want zero part of, whether Brandon Bolden goes off or Vereen is more active than he has been. It will all change next week, and Jonas Gray will be the one getting 20 carries. So it's a situation that's just a definite fantasy headache.
Unless Jonas Gray somehow got 20 carries last night. You never know. That's always a possibility with Bill Belichick and the Patriots. It wouldn't be a surprise. He is active, and they called him up from the practice squad, so you never know. But let's talk about the quarterback situation going into this week. Across the top, of course, we have our Rodgers, Luck, and Mannings, and the Rivers, and Cutler is even in the mix now. But I got to say, all the way up at number 7, right now, I have Tony Romo there, and it's, you know, issues with not practicing. That's what we've seen for the entire year. But the reason I have him there is because the Giants' secondary has been pretty much decimated by injuries over the past 2 weeks. It sounds like Rodgers Cromartie might not play. Even if he does, he's not going to be 100%. Might come out of the game. If he's on the field, are we going to see the real Rodgers Cromartie? They just lost Tremaine McBride, who is their third corner, who was actually really good for them, especially last year with all the interceptions. They lost him for the season to hand surgery. So now they're down to Zach Bowman stepping up into the lineup. And if Cromartie's out, Bowman's actually going to be their second option. I just think Tony Romo, Dez Bryant, Terrence Williams, DeMarco Murray, I think they just all go off on the Giants. And that includes I forgot about Jason Witten, but that includes obviously Tony Romo. I wouldn't be surprised if Tony Romo, in a game where they want to make a statement to just prove that the 5-1 is not a joke, even though they beat Seattle, so that was a pretty big statement right there. But at home against the Giants, I could see him putting up 300 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a game, obviously, coming off that Seattle win where they don't want to fall into what, you know, the old Dallas teams would do, which would be to blow this one to the Giants and let your division rival beat up on you. But I do think this is a very impressive team, especially offensively. The way DeMarco Murray is running right now is really going to allow Tony Romo to do some things against the Giants. I think that Terrence Williams will be able to get deep and make some plays. You love Dez Bryant. Just because as physical as he is, he could dominate that Giants secondary. I don't think that there's anyone that's really going to be able to slow him down. Jason Witten, really, you know, he's been forgotten by Tony Romo pretty much all season. He finally hit the end zone last week, but he's really been pretty pedestrian type of guy. But I like Romo this week because of all those reasons and the weapons. I think he's definitely a quarterback one this week when you look at setting your lineup.
Oh, absolutely. Now, are you ready to put Cam Newton back into the QB1 territory? Because right now I have him in there. I have him at number 10, one spot ahead of Stafford and Kaepernick behind him, Flacco, Palmer. And it's not even so much the fact that you and I talked about it on the waiver show and the recap, actually, is with Cam Newton is the rushing ability brings back his value. But he looked a little bit slower than years past. I don't know if it's 100% back, but it's enough of back in a game where they're going to need to pass in Green Bay that ahead of the guys that are right behind him, like Stafford without Calvin Johnson, going against the Saints, that's obviously an issue that he doesn't have Calvin Johnson. Kaepernick I like, but you know, Kaepernick doesn't need to throw for 300 yards most games. And Cam Newton will run more than he does. But you have the added passing of what they're going to have to do. And Grant, then again, you know, Kaepernick going against Denver, he's probably going to have to pass some just to keep up because you know Peyton Manning is going to break the record in that game. Trust me. He says it's not on his mind. He knows it's. He knows what's going on. He's going to take care of that. I wouldn't be surprised if Peyton Manning takes care of it in the first half as a quick side note, just to make sure he gets it out of the way and doesn't have to think about it. So look for Peyton Manning to score 3 in the first half against San Francisco. But I think Cam Newton at number 10 is a pretty solid place to put him right now.
Yeah, I agree. And the only caveat to that with Cam Newton is Kelvin Benjamin is still missing practice with the concussion. So that is my only concern. If Kelvin Benjamin doesn't play in that game, I think he's a big enough piece of that offense for me to downgrade Newton at least a few spots and maybe start considering some other players here. But anything else, I think he's a full go QB1 as long as Benjamin's in there. He's getting Jonathan Stewart back for whatever that's worth. At least he'll have some semblance of a starting running back this week for Stewart, for as long as Stewart can stay healthy in the game. So I like Newton this week with Benjamin in the lineup. And, you know, more on that. That's a situation you definitely want to follow closely. One note real quick on Kaepernick. I had the big game last week. I like him a lot this week because I think he's got a nice matchup with Denver. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored on Denver's side of the ball. I don't think the Niners D is going to be able to really slow Peyton down, as you said. Definitely going to be going for that record. And that means Kaepernick might have to make up some plays with his legs. I think we'll see him run a little bit more than he has for most of the season. And I think we're going to see another good passing performance. So for this week, I do like Kaepernick a lot.
Fair enough. I see a little bit of adverse risk with forcing him to pass, but if he takes off with his legs, if that's where he's doing the damage, I'm in complete agreement with you. That definitely helps his value. I'm just concerned whether or not it's going to be his legs or if he's going to start trying to force passing the ball, and Denver can take advantage of the opportunity there for that. I actually kind of like their defense, depending on who you're – we'll get the defenses of plug and plays. But I like Carson Palmer again at Oakland. He's been limited in practice, but that was the same case last week. It doesn't sound like he's having a setback yet. I would watch and pay attention, obviously, if you're going to rely on Palmer. But I do like him again. And then here's the question for you between the two plug-ins, because these are both pretty nice if you happen to have one of the two people on a bye this week, or maybe you've still been playing the matchups for quarterback for the entire year. Would you rather roll with Brian Hoyer at Jacksonville or Derek Carr against Arizona?
Carr, very risky against Arizona, and we saw Carr have a great game last week, looking very, very sharp. But Brian Hoyer against Jacksonville is the pick for me. You know, we talked about Hoyer on the waiver wire show, and you pointed out just how steady he was. And, you know, unless I'm looking that, you know, I'm facing an opponent where I know I need to make a big splash and have a huge upside type of game, I'm going with kind of a steady Eddie Brian Hoyer where I know kind of what I'm getting out of him, which is probably around 200, 250 yards. And I'm hoping, you know, he's passed for at least one touchdown in every game. I'm hoping I can get a couple out of him this week. So Jordan Cameron starting to turn things around. I like Hoyer this week.
It's funny because there's a couple leagues where I've been playing the QB carousel, and actually a few of them I have Hoyer and a few of them I have Carr. For the exact, well, the exact reasons, the leagues that I picked up Carr instead of Hoyer was I needed the higher ceiling, and I could, you know, I understood that with the risk that's with that, I need a big game from a couple of guys on my team just because I suffered some injuries or bad running back situations and so forth. So it's, I'm completely agreement with you there. It's the higher ceiling is Carr, but the way that Hoyer's been playing, I think he's a great – I don't think his ceiling's that far behind, but he's been much more stable. So moving to running back. Oh, and we didn't mention Drew Brees, because if you have Drew Brees, you're starting him. I don't even care for the fact that people are concerned about the Denver defense. It's in a dome. Yes, it's a road game, but it's in a dome road game. So it's Drew Brees, still QB1, still starting your lineup. Don't make any mistakes. Even if Jimmy Graham doesn't play, he's still a QB1 for me. So two running back, and we'll talk about tight ends when we get there too. Looking at the top 10, I have to say, you know, it's pretty – what you'd suspect and what we talk about every week and why we don't really hit on them much with the Murrays, Fortes, Lynches, Le'Veon Bells, and so forth. But somebody who sneaks in at number 10 for this week, and I was surprised. Like, I see some of the guys behind him, and we could talk about them too, and maybe I'll throw out and see if that you wouldn't move one of them ahead of Brandon Oliver, but that's who I have at number 10. It's a good matchup against Kansas City's defense. Hasn't been as good this year. And Oliver, yeah, I was surprised. I'll keep saying it again. I was surprised that he's been able to carry this much of the workload and put up this kind of number so far. But I'm officially trusting him. He's an RB1 for me after the first two games where I wasn't so sure.
Yeah, I mean, after what he's done these past couple of weeks, you have to be really impressed with Oliver. I think if you've got him, you have to find a way to get him into your lineup. And, you know, borderline RB1 is what we're looking at this week against Kansas City. I think he'll be a big part of the game plan again. So, yeah, I like Brandon Oliver a lot this week. I don't think you're very far off there with you know, kind of that in that RB1 range. He's right there.
Okay, so let's go. I'll give you like the next five behind him, and you tell me if you'd start Brandon Oliver or your rankings would be different. And a good matchup against Carolina, possibly in a nice game to sell him high afterwards because he's been very inconsistent. Somewhat of a disappointment. Eddie Lacy's at 11.
Yeah, Eddie Lacy. People are running on Carolina this week or this year. But, you know, Lacy's really only had that one good game. I'm going to ride the hot hand here. If I had to choose, I can only start one. It's tough for me to bench him, but I'm benching Eddie Lacy.
Isn't that tough to say?
It is. I mean, you know, such high expectations coming in, but he, you know, just doesn't look the same as he did last year. He just doesn't look like the same type of player, not running with as much burst or anything like that. So, you know, he could still get back on track, but right now he really hasn't done anything to earn getting in your lineup over someone like what Oliver has done over the past couple weeks. And, you know, running backs is very much a what have you done for me lately type of position, if there is one at all. And Oliver has carried the mail.
Now, somebody else who has a hot hand in probably the best, actually not probably, in the best matchup of the week, Justin Forsett.
Yep, I would. We have talked about Forsett a lot, and I like that he's got a role there, but I like that Oliver, I think, gets more touches. And Forsett has been able to, you know, he's very dynamic, has been able to do a lot with a little as far as his workload goes. And you point out a great matchup, but I still like Oliver. I still take Oliver over him.
All right. And number 13, whose situation is kind of cleared up because the other one got hurt, Lamar Miller.
Lamar Miller at Chicago. This is one that I do like, and I would put slightly ahead of Oliver. Lamar Miller has been up and down, but running really well this year. I think running with a little bit more purpose, a little bit more power than he has last year, where he kind of danced around a bit. And I think with Moreno out of the picture, I really like him as, you know, one of those high upside RB2s. So he is one guy that I would take over Brandon Oliver.
Really?
Yes. For this week, I think he's almost RB1 type material.
And I see. The only thing is Chicago's defense has actually been playing a little bit better against the run this year so far, which is surprising because last year they were one of the two worst. But I guess, you know, we're talking splitting hairs there. I'm just kind of trying to find the level where you would stop for Oliver. Okay, so you pretty much have him in that same mix, just Miller ahead of all of them. So let's jump down a little bit now that we got that pretty much cleared up for people wondering where the Oliver is. Basically, you're playing him. If you have him, you're playing him. So Andre Williams, I have it 16, and even that's kind of a hesitant 16 because we just talked about Tony Romo and the Giants. And if they're down early or big, I think you're going to see the exact same thing we saw last week, is the fact that Peyton Hillis is going to start getting involved because he's more involved in the passing game, the better pass blocker. And like I said, I have him at 16 just for the hope that they keep things close and they turn to him 15 to 20 times, but that's a risky 16 in my opinion.
Yeah, it's risky, but I like the upside. I think this is, you know, after the first, you know, 8 or 10 guys that we always talk about week in and week out, I think you can make a case for Andre Williams to be a nice RB2 this week. You definitely outline the fears, and the fear is that Tony Romo leads the Cowboys on two quick touchdown drives, and they're down 14, and really we don't see much of Williams. But I do think he'll find his way to double-digit carries in this game. I do think it's going to be able to be kept close by the Giants' offense, and I like Williams to hopefully punch one in here. So I think there's a good enough amount of upside for me to have him where I don't think 15 is too crazy.
Yeah, well, 16. I'm just
or 16.
Yes, I'm just messing with you. Not that really matters there. I just joked. So, checking out for the last of the RB2 people, Bishop Sankey, with the assumption that Sean Green is out. I'm checking in at 23, even though Redskins' run defense has been better than their pass defense. I still think there's plenty of opportunity here. He did see almost 20 touches last week, but this is really dependent on Sean Green. If Sean Green's back in the mix, I don't trust this backfield as much as almost a Belichick situation, unfortunately. And you can talk about both these guys. At number 24 is our boy. I put it, yes, all the way at 24. I'd rather start him as my RB2 over a lot of the guys we can talk about in the RB3 territory, Isaiah Crowell, even on limited touches, because I think the 10 to 15 touches going against Jacksonville will be productive enough that I like him better, more upside, we'll put it that way. There's a lot safer people in the RB3 range, but for the upside, I'm going to put him at 24.
Yeah, there's certainly a risk there with Crowell, but I think we both could see this game being at least a couple touchdown game, potentially, even though Jacksonville has played better on offense in recent weeks. And you could see Crowell mixing in even early, and I could see them going to him late if they have a big lead and getting him some additional work. So I think he, you know, if you expect 7 or 8 touches and are happy if he approaches double digits, I think that's the way to look at Crowell. It makes him a borderline RB2 for me. I do think you had said there's some risk, and there certainly is there, but because of the workload question mark, but definitely has the upside where we've seen anytime he's getting the carries, he's been producing. So Crowell, a very, very interesting guy. I like Sankey this week. I'm right with you on the Sean Green thing. It becomes a mess if he's active. Right now, it doesn't sound like he's going to, but you really need to monitor that. And Washington has been very good against the run. They've been pretty limiting. So Bishop Sankey's still a strong RB2, I think, because he'll get that workload. And he does have that potential to break a long one.
Now, just of course, people are going to know when they're listening to this, but just as a funny type of situation, as we just talked about a little while ago with Bill Belichick, James White's inactive. They just made him a healthy scratch as we're recording this show, just to prove to you of why you don't trust Belichick and try to sell high on whoever does well last night. Just run away. Just please avoid that situation. But some of the people that I have in that RB3 territory, both of the New Orleans running backs, even though I like both of them, all three of them. Actually, Kiri checks in right on the cusp of being an RB3/RB4, but they're all kind of in the RB3/4 range because we just don't know what they're going to do. We can speculate. We say we have the inside information. We don't. Sean Payton's smart. He's not going to tell us what he's going to do. You see what Mark Ingram did before he got hurt. He was actually a top 10 running back before he got hurt. The talk is he's going to be eased back in. But you got to think, if he comes out and has 5 really good carries and, you know, he busts off maybe 40 yards and 5 carries, they might turn to him a lot more because he looks great. At the same time, if he comes out and he's 5 for 15, you can see a lot more Kiri Robinson as good as he's looked. So it's just a situation that is frustrating. And, you know, if you're in a deep league and you have guys on bye, or if you have injuries and you need to start one of them, I'd be happy with all three, Pierre Thomas included, because you know what you're going to get out of all of them. But at the same time, it's a very unclear situation until hopefully this game and maybe next week.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, it's a good problem to have if you're a Saints fan, because they're all three very talented running backs. With Ingram working his way back, I do think, you know, he'll see some carries early and they'll kind of judge how he looks health wise. But, you know, it's a tough matchup all around. I actually think I like Pierre Thomas the best of all, because they might use him in the passing game to try and move the chains a little bit here and use some short passes to him instead of if they can't get anything growing against that front four of the Lions. But Mark Ingram, definitely a guy that looked really good in the preseason, carried that over until he had the injury. Really excited to see if he can, again, pick up where he left off before injury. Because if you do, you've got a locked-in RB2. And unfortunately, Kyrie, if Ingram continues to play well, Kyrie goes back to being more of a flex play because he's not going to get the workload. So I think they want Ingram to step back up and really take the ball and run with it. And we'll see starting Sunday if he can make that happen.
Yeah, and it would be nice, too, if you own any of them, or, you know, I would definitely hold off on making any moves because there's a lot of people that have been asking on Twitter, should I trade or drop one of them now that Ingram's back, or should I try to trade for it? It's just, you know, unless you're getting supreme value on one side or the other, you know, somebody's overpaying for them or because they're RB needy, or somebody is going to, you know, undersell them and let you grab them for nothing. It's one of those situations where we kind of have to wait for things to clear up because we can make the call and be completely wrong. As much of the insight that we say we have, it's just not sure. I don't know where to rank him, and I don't know where, but I put him at 39. That's Anton Smith, just because even if he gets 5 carries, he might get 70 yards and a touchdown. It's just, you know, the only problem is you're banking on somebody who doesn't even touch the ball 10 times a game.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of questions about starting Smith this week that I've seen on Twitter and been asked. And I'm just not into these types of players that only touch the ball 4 or 5 times and are reliant on the big play. Right now, Smith is, you know, better than pretty much everyone at the big play right now. He's got 5 touchdowns. In receiving touchdowns or TDs, 5 TDs in 6 games, but he's really only touched the ball a handful of times, and you know we're looking at a high of 6 touches last week against Chicago, but then he breaks a long one and scores a touchdown again. So I just don't like relying on these type of players. I think it's fair to roll the dice and start him if you have some bye weeks. And there's obviously, you know, a bunch of running back situations that are in flux as well. So I think he's a desperation play and see if he can continue this crazy streak of massive big plays that he's had. But, you know, I'm not betting for it. And I don't think the Falcons are in a hurry to give him too many more touches. I mean, if I were them, I would give him the ball a few more times. But I don't think, other than that, you're not going to see Anton Smith get, 12 or 15 touches in any Falcons game, I don't think, unless there's an injury.
Right. That's the biggest thing. But there's a lot of upside for him if somebody ever did get hurt. I will say that. Looking at the rest of their running backs, there's not a whole lot for the, you know, basically you're looking to hit a home run if you're grabbing anybody after that. But I will mention the one that after watching last week, we briefly mentioned him, and it's the fact of somebody to keep watch of for this week. And maybe if you're in a deep league and you have a spot to stash, just go ahead and do it. It's Trey Mason with the Rams, because Zach Stacy has looked pretty much sluggish compared to like what we saw at the end of last year. Of it's tough to get the yards per carry. He's a volume runner. Not to take anything away from that kind of value, but when you're not touching the ball 20 times a game, which he's not, it's going to hurt you fantasy-wise. And Trey Mason, he loves to get running and get those legs going. And, you know, a lot of people talked about the fact that in college, for going a little bit deeper for analysis-wise, if you watch his tape, for those kind of people out there, he starts to kind of do the Peyton Manning like stutter step where he moves his feet a whole lot before he gets to the line. But if you watched in college, he was doing that a lot of times to let holes develop, and then he would be a one cut back and kind of move through those holes. That's what I like about him, is once he makes his decision, he takes off and he's going to be a full head of steam. So I think that if he gets a chance and starts being the lead back in that offense, you could have an RB2 on your hands.
Yeah, you could. I think for right now, you just have a mess on your hands. It's like similar to the Patriots situation. I mean, Benny Cunningham's mixing in. Zach Stacy, I don't think, is 100%. But again, Zach Stacy is the type of guy he needs 15, 20 touches minimum in order to produce. I still like Zach Stacy. I think he's a solid back, but he's nothing special, and that's what Trey Mason could be. And I think that's why they drafted him. They got a nice value on him in the NFL draft. He fell a little bit further than I thought he was going to, and he's very talented. He's the type of guy that certainly you could see being a lead back down the line for them and being a dynamic weapon for them. This year, I do think they'll start to work him in a little bit more, And maybe by the end of the year, that's why, you know, as Jake says, he's a stash type of player right now. And you don't need to roll him into your lineup just because he led the Rams in yardage last week. But certainly an intriguing player that if he ever did take a hold of that starting job, you definitely are looking at someone who's very valuable.
All right, let's move over to wide receivers. We don't talk about the top 10. I've already said that at both positions so far, but I will say that I actually have Dez Bryant as my number one wide receiver, obviously because of the Tony Romo thing that I talked about. I really think there's a setup here for the Giants to get torched, which watch it end up being a 13-10 game and just totally destroy that. But big names all the way down the list of the top 10, but there is one who I didn't put there last week. And remember, this has nothing to do with the back padding or anything like that. This is just the fact of last week pointing out that my opinion has changed for this matchup. As last week, I had Golden Tate not as a wide receiver one, as you know. I mentioned that my concerns were if they put him outside, that there would be defensive focus on him without Calvin Johnson. What was going to happen? And he had a decent day, but it definitely wasn't wide receiver one day. I do have him a wide receiver one against the Saints that we're talking about, and not because anything against the Saints, but the fact of I think that they're going to have to pass to him even more than they did last week, because I think Stafford needs to get something going. And I think that the Lions are going to make that a focus before they get into their bye week, because it looks like Calvin Johnson is going to be out through their bye. So I don't think they want to go into the bye having Matthew Stafford throw for 150 yards and one touchdown every single week. I think they want to get some stuff going on here, and I think that this is a week that, you know, Golden Tate could go back to the 100-plus yards touchdown type of week that he had before they lost Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, I think you have to like the matchup a little bit more this week, and I think last week, obviously, he caught 7 passes but only 44 yards. I'm in agreement with you. I still think he's wide receiver 2, which was where we both talked about having him last week, but I think he's a little bit closer to that wide receiver 1 category for me this week. So, definitely going to get him into my lineup. I think there's a lot of potential for some big plays going against the Saints. I think, you know, another one of these games that we talk about, there's a lot of potential for a lot of points to be scored on both sides. So it's one of those fantasy matchups that I'm looking forward to actually watching, because I think there's just going to be a ton of potential on both sides for points. I think Golden Tate is the guy that I'd lean on if I'm the Lions to get things started.
And they really need to. Corey Fuller's shown some flashes, but I think that, you know, obviously that's the one that they want to rely on is Golden Tate. Looking a little bit deeper, Kelvin Benjamin, if he plays, even though because it is a concussion situation, if he plays and he's cleared, I'm saying they're not going to, with the way that the NFL is at this point and all the steps you've got to go through, if he plays, I think he's going to be fine. And you're kind of almost, you're going to downgrade him. Some people I've seen out there, the way that they're putting him on his rankings and who they're comparing him with, and they're saying, should I start Kelvin Benjamin or Torrey Smith or something like that? You're downgrading him, in my opinion, too much. There is risk, but I don't think it's any more risk than any other week with somebody who's had a concussion before. So for me, if he plays, he's 15th. He's a high-end wide receiver, too, especially as you talked about, and I agree with, is going to be a high-passing game for probably both offenses.
Yeah, absolutely. And as long as he's out there, I have to start Kelvin Benjamin. I love what he's been able to do this year. You know, he's had some slower games, but he's got 4 touchdowns, probably could have had, 3 or 4 more, on either callbacks, things like that, that were very close. Kelvin Benjamin, definitely has a good rapport with Cam Newton. The only concern there is the concussion, but I think, yeah, definite wide receiver 2 with upside to finish as, you know, a top 5 to 7 wide receiver this week. I like that matchup.
And then outside of the top 20, there's your other typical names we talk about. So kind of hitting the 20 to 21 to 30 range, 21-30 range, if you didn't catch all that. I like Roddy White to kind of bounce back. I've looked at the game so far that he's had, and the games where he's had good matchup, basically good matchups and good outputs have been because of the good matchups. And the other games where he's been sort of a wide receiver 4, it's because they've faced tougher teams. Actually, all within the top 10 except for one. There's one that's straddled right in the middle. Two really good matchups fantasy-wise, and both of those games, he was a wide receiver, high-end wide receiver two, almost wide receiver one. Baltimore, similar to that. They've actually been very forgiving against wide receivers so far this year. And I think Roddy White checks in right at the cusp of being in wide receiver two status. I think that Joe Flacco and Matt Ryan are both going to be probably passing quite a bit this week.
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, Roddy White off to a little bit of a slow start. And again, you know, just like last year, kind of slowed by injuries a little bit. He's more of a three for me. And one of those guys, I know he's got the proven track record. But with the slow start, I really like to see it before I roll with him confidently as a wide receiver, too. The fact of the matter is he's very talented. I like this matchup. I think Atlanta's got a good shot here. To score some points and kind of rebound off of that performance, that quiet performance against the Bears. So, you know, I like Roddy White. He's more of a three for me, but, you know, with bye weeks, I don't think you bench the guy unless you've got three really good options.
Yeah, I got to say that he'd be one of the three good options for me, in my opinion. I think he would definitely be obviously, if I have him at 24, he's going to be one of the three good options. So I'm a little bit higher on him this week. Colston, I have right behind him too. And that's because even if Jimmy Graham plays, I think that Breeze is going to have to rely on Colston some more, because if Graham's out there, I don't think he's going to be 100% Graham. So you might see him eat more easily covered than you do in normal weeks, where you pretty much almost need double coverage to take care of him because you need the safety and the linebacker. Whereas if he's less than 100%, you might be able to cover him just with a speedy linebacker. Whereas this week, that'll open things up for Colston and Cooks, who I have right with him. I have them both right at the – it's actually Roddy White, Cooks, Wayne, Colston is what I have right there.
Yeah, I like both Saints wide receivers we're talking about here, Colston and Cooks, this week. I think they both have good games. I think especially Colston. I think this is the game he kind of gets back on track and gets things going. You know, really since week one, he's kind of been very spotty as far as his usage. Obviously had the dud in week two where he didn't catch a single ball and didn't even have a target. So I look for him to get back, definitely find the end zone. I think he's a good bet to go over 100 and get at least five or six catches for sure. So I like Colston a lot. And then, you know, Brandon Cooks, just that volume guy. He's such a big part of the game plan every week. You know, you have to like him as a wide receiver too, especially if you're in a PPR league. You know, obviously only averaging about 10 yards a catch, but he just, there's so much volume there. I think he's on pace for over 100 catches or somewhere near there, which is crazy for a rookie when you think about it. But he's such a dynamic talent and brings so much to the Saints offense. You know, you have to like both of these guys, especially with, you know, even if Jimmy Graham plays. And I was surprised that that he's been practicing a little bit this week and got in a limited practice on Thursday. But like you said, I'm in agreement. I think if Jimmy Graham plays, he's probably not at 100%. And, you know, they'll take 50% of Jimmy Graham, but it could be a decoy situation, almost like what we saw with Calvin Johnson a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think that's the bigger thing about it. So talking about some of the bigger play guys, one of the most popular pickups from last week was Andre Holmes, and I already have him as a wide receiver three. Again, to refresh everybody in case you didn't hear it, it's not just reactionary off the 1 week. 20 targets in two games has led the team in snaps, even ahead of James Jones. Really nice matchup with Arizona. And actually, I have James Jones just a few spots behind him. I think both of them are really solid plays. Obviously, if I like Derek Carr to put up a good game and have a high ceiling, I think that both of them are going to be the ones that benefit, obviously.
Yeah, no, I like Holmes a lot. I'm, you know, James Jones, to me, he's always been a hit or miss guy. The 1 year where he caught 15 touchdowns, led the league, was impressive with Aaron Rodgers. But with the way Derek Carr played last week, I think you have to start both these guys, especially Holmes. Holmes I do like more. Definitely have him as a wide receiver three. I completely agree with you there, Jake. He's getting targeted. He's a really big target. Love the rapport with Carr and love the big playability from Holmes.
Now, a few more guys just to throw out before we get to tight end, just to hit on, and then if you want to touch on any of the same guys or throw out some names, that's cool too, is I have Odell Beckham as a wide receiver four. I'm not so sure that this Dallas game doesn't turn out to be like the Philly game, especially from pressure. If that offensive line takes a step back like they did again last week against Philly, there could be a lot of problems for the Giants. If, basically, over the next five games, there's a good chance the Giants might go nothing against the Giants, nothing joking to them or whatever, but there's a serious chance with you. If you look at their schedule, they could go 0-5 over the next five, unfortunately for them. Hopefully, it'll turn into some good fantasy performances passing-wise, but that remains to be seen. Allen Robinson, you and I both really like a lot. I think he's a high-end wide receiver four with potential for more. He's the most targeted option on that team. Cecil Shorts took that option last week, but overall, it's been more of Allen Robinson, and it's somebody to really watch. And I think I actually have him rated higher than Cecil Shorts this week. I think there's more consistency. And then Doug Baldwin, I think that takes a little bit of a step forward with the matchup against St. Louis this week. And, you know, there was all the talk about that he and Russell Wilson were yelling on the sidelines last week. Sometimes, you know, that's what happens in the heat of the game. You see, Randy Moss made a career of doing that. And a lot of times that turns into production come the next game.
Yeah, it could, and it shows the quarterback that you're, you know, hey, look at me, I'm hungry over here. So I definitely agree with you there. I'll throw out a couple others that I've kind of had my eye on this week. You mentioned Beckham. I think Randall locked in as a wide receiver too right now. Maybe more of the lower end until we see, but getting the targets is a good red zone target. Should have more than those two touchdowns. So I like Reuben Randall in this matchup. Keenan Allen, a guy much maligned this year, and we've talked about him a bunch, hard to start him. This could be the week I think that he'll be on a lot of benches and may go off and have one of those games that we were accustomed to last year. So Keenan Allen could be resuscitating that value against the Chiefs. Justin Hunter strung together two pretty good games in a row. He had 99 yards a couple weeks ago on three catches. Last week had 77 yards on three catches again. Never going to be a high volume guy, but definitely a big play threat and proving he can do it no matter who's under center. So a risk reward type of wide receiver three. And then very deep leagues, Davante Adams, I think a guy that we both like, Jake, that we've seen get more involved. And Aaron Rodgers seems to have a pretty good rapport with him and seems pretty comfortable with him, which is something that you have to like. Obviously, a lot of mouths to feed and a couple big ones ahead of him in Nelson and Cobb. So it makes him a very risky play. But it's bye week time. And, you know, with injuries and inconsistencies of a lot of guys, Davante Adams represents a roll of the dice upside play for your flex spot.
Yeah, I'll throw out a little play the memory game for you. Do you remember what I said about Davante Adams in the preseason?
I do not. Probably something about passing Boykin and being definitely the third receiver there.
But yeah, that there was potential for. I called him the new James Jones.
He's
solid all around, and he doesn't have one exceptional area. And if you put him in that number three spot, he'll be good at it. So I'm in complete agreement with you. Yeah, I called him the new James Jones. He's the new younger version for them. So. Yeah, I'm agreement. It took some time, but he surpassed Boykin. So looking at tight end, I think obviously if Jimmy Graham plays, you're going to play him. You don't own Jimmy Graham and bench him ever, even at 70%. This is similar to the conversation you and I had early in the season with Gronkowski. If Gronkowski plays, you play him. If Jimmy Graham is out there, you put him out there. Now, am I going to rank him in the top three? Probably not, but that doesn't mean that he can't finish there because he is Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, no question about it. Jimmy Graham's out there even at 50%. I'm starting him because even as a decoy, there's a good chance he scores a touchdown or two in this game because, you know, he's just that prolific in the red zone. So, you know, we've seen this before from Jimmy Graham in previous seasons, and he has come out and had some really good games when he's been hobbled. Obviously, it's a shoulder injury, and we just don't know how healthy he is. But if he's active on game day, I'm rolling him out there.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I would be surprised if anybody had a tight end where you could start him ahead of Jimmy Graham at this point, because you probably, as similar to quarterback, because you probably didn't even draft a backup, and you were just going to use somebody during the bye when you had Jimmy Graham. Oh, you know what? That being said, I just said that, but, you know, they're coming off the bye, so, you know, maybe you still have somebody from last week. So I would be, but let's put it this way. I start Gronkowski, Julius Thomas, Greg Olsen, Martellus Bennett. I'd probably start Jordan Cameron, probably Jordan Reed, even though he's been – actually, Jordan Reed's right around – I would take Jimmy Graham over Jordan Reed. I would probably only start those other five.
Yeah, I think Jordan Reed's close. Love Cameron. I'd probably leave Bennett out. I think I'd start Graham over him, to be honest with you. So that's our breaking point there. But everyone else, I agree with you.
Okay. Now, looking at tight end again, staying with the whole position, is I think somebody else who has a bounce-back week, not just because of the matchup, and I've already – well, obviously not because of the matchup, because I just mentioned my concerns about the matchup and every other position we've talked about, but I think Larry Donnell bounces back because now he's back to being the third option on that team. Is he was the third option. Odell Beckham shows up. He kind of gets lost, and now that Victor Cruz is down for the year – he's back to being number three. And I think going against Dallas, who's been one of the worst teams against the tight end, and over the past 2 weeks, they haven't faced anybody of Donnell's talent so far, which is strange to say because nobody had Donnell on their radar in the preseason as a talent to say, hey, I want him on my fantasy team. But I put Donnell back in the top 10 going against Dallas this week.
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement with you on that one. I think we saw two quiet weeks in a row. I think you're right about, you know, Beckham came back and you know, the game flow last week against Philly was obviously a strange one. I think Donnell is back to being that safety blanket, the 5-6 catches, the 50 or 60 yards, and you're hoping he can get a couple looks in the red zone and maybe find pay dirt. So, yeah, the solid back end wide tight end one, I think, is what Larry Donnell is this week against Dallas.
Now, further down the list, Jason Witten, I already talked about. Obviously, I have him as a tight end one because I talked about Tony Romo having a big day, and I think that the Giants' defense is starting to look like it's getting some holes, unfortunately, for injuries. I don't like starting Dwayne Allen because he's so touchdown reliant, but this week I'm going to. I actually have him at number 11 because Cincinnati actually overtook Dallas, and they actually have been the most forgiving, most fantasy points per game given up to tight ends so far. So this is a week where I feel more confident in trusting Dwayne Allen.
Yeah, I mean, that Dwayne Allen is the guy we've talked about. He's the, I think, a tight end two type of guy, but you have to play the matchups with those type of players, and you know, you pointed out that it's a decent matchup for him, and you know, you may only get you 30, 40 yards, but you're banking on that touchdown.
Absolutely. That's the thing, is you're always banking on a touchdown with him. But, hey, it could come against Cincinnati this week. Heath Miller against Houston, I think, is a solid play. Travis Kelce, solid. All these guys are top RB2s for me. Somebody who – another one I've never been that fond of because he shows up about three or four times and gets you really excited, and you see all the potential and all the talent he has, all the athletic ability, and you think, okay, finally, you know, Jared Cook is going to be this tight end one we've always seen, but it's only like three or four times a season. But if you watched, Austin Davis actually is starting to turn his way a lot. The biggest problem is maybe it was Sam Bradford just wasn't consistently going to him enough. And Seattle, as I talked about last week, with Jason Witten being a solid tight end one because they've been giving up touchdowns, and the one area that they seem to leave gaps in the defense is the tight ends. I think Jared Cook, actually at 15, I wouldn't be surprised if Cook sneaks into tight end one status this week.
No, I think he could. You know, he got a ton of targets. In the 49ers game, I think he got 11 targets, rolled up 74 yards. So I think you're right. I think Austin Davis looks for him. I think there's certainly a role there for Cook. He's one of those guys that a lot of – much maligned in the fantasy universe because he's just burned so many owners in years past gambling on his upside and, you know, potential to be a top five tight end. But, you know, he's one of those guys. He certainly still has the ability and the talent, just not the consistency. So you play him in spots, and this is one of those spots to take a gamble on him, especially if, say, you have Jimmy Graham on your team and he's going to be inactive. We don't know yet. If he is, you plug and play with Jared Cook.
Right, and actually right behind him is somebody that, again, this was kind of one of those preseason hype players. Everybody got really excited about him. I think it's time to put you back on the radar. It's Ladarius Green. If Eddie Royal misses any time, it sounds like Eddie Royal is going to be fine. He's going to play, so that changes a little things for me. But the reason I say that is because once Eddie Royal left the game last week, he was actually in for about 60% of the snaps, whereas before that it was about half of that. So a big thing to monitor, and it's very Eddie Royal dependent, but Ladarius Green could be back on radars if Eddie Royal does miss any time.
Yeah, absolutely. Caught 4 for 60 last week, so that was a nice sign. And I mean, he's there. He's ready and waiting. He's, you know, ready, prime for a breakout. But right now, there's just not enough balls to go around with the Chargers. But yeah, with Eddie Royal, if he does miss time, I think that's a, you know, an astute observation to maybe you have a sneaky upside play there with Ladarius Green.
Anybody else at tight end before we move to defense and wrap things up this week?
Just one guy that we've talked about a bit and you brought up, I think, on the last preview show. Clay Harbor has just been churning out solid games. And I think, going against Cleveland, I think they're gonna need his help. What we talked about, we do like Cecil Shorts. We like Allen Robinson a lot. But, Clay Harbor has been solid. I think he's, more of a tight end, too. But again, bye week situation. Injury, I'm okay with starting Clay Harbor against the Cleveland Browns this week.
Now, yeah, let's hit on defenses, like I said, real quick before we get out of here. I did want to mention, obviously, if Jimmy Graham's out, we talked about it on the waiver wire show just to refresh for everybody, is Josh Hill looks like the better pickup as the one who's going to put out the yards. He actually did have a touchdown 2 weeks ago, had a bunch of yards last week. Looks like a nice fill-in for him. Ben Watson looks like he'll be more of the red zone option, so somebody that you're really going to hope for a touchdown with him. But between the two, there might be better options out there, and we've listed a lot of them. We did so on the waiver show if you want to go back and listen. But if you're that deep where you just need somebody from the Saints, Josh Hill would probably be the one that we would both lean to, as we mentioned. Like I said, you can go back and listen to the waiver show as we ran down a whole kind of options for you there. But at defenses, the one that I like the most, who surprisingly isn't owned in a lot of leagues, or I said aren't owned, is a defense owned or aren't? It's weird because it's the team, it's the Bills defense. So, but anyway, grammar aside, the Buffalo Bills have been one of the better defenses. And as I mentioned earlier in the week, 10.5 fantasy points per game against running backs. They haven't let a running back score, whether it's rushing or receiving. They've only given up 11 carries inside the red zone, and they're facing Minnesota at home. It was a lot of that was why I wasn't a big fan of McKinnon this week. Everybody getting a lot of excitement about picking him up off the waiver wire after what happened last game. But the Bills I have in my top five, I think they're a great play, as is the team that I kept telling everybody to make sure you grab in the stash for the next 3 weeks, the Cleveland Browns. Both of them top five defenses for me this week.
Absolutely. Buffalo Bills are an impressive unit, really limiting against the run. I think there's going to be tough tracking for McKinnon and Asiata this week against the Buffalo Bills. I really like that defense as a plug and play if they're out there on the waiver wire. And I do think the Browns are probably out there in a few waiver wires, and they've been very solid this year. And like we talked about on the waiver wire show, three really good matchups coming up, starting with at Jacksonville this week.
And the next two are at home, too, as good of the matchups as are. So definitely one to keep an eye on for. But as we are out of time for this week, again, there's plenty of questions you might have between now and Sunday morning. So if you have any start-sit questions besides looking at the rankings, tweet us both. Tweet me at All and Kid. Tweet Bobby at Hello and Bobby. Otherwise, we will be back on Monday to wrap up the Week 7 action and hopefully get you on that little stretch run into the playoffs.